This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time. Buy or sell that with Nathan MacKinnon coming back and Cale Makar, Devon Taves, they're going to, I mean, they looked pissed. Nathan MacKinnon really looked pissed. Is it going to be any source of, you know, again, I guess it's just Brock Nelson that they're going to be back on the same team with, but is there a pissed off crew to the point where this is only going to bode well for the Avalanche, or is it something where they're so devastated by the loss that maybe it takes a minute to re-kick this start after a good chunk of the month off and silver medal to show for it and to lose to Team USA? Buy or sell, this is it's ultimately going to be a positive kick in the you know what, for those three guys. Not that they really needed it, but now it's going to be the point where it's like, we ain't seen nothing yet.
I'm going to go halfway in between.
You can buy yourself.
No, hear me out.
Okay.
I don't think it's this loss that's going to cause the issue. I think the issue is coming from the fact that they've been playing a lot and everybody else has been resting.
And really emotional games.
Yeah, it's been emotionally draining. I think they might drop the first couple before they get their heads back in the game.
Nathan MacKinnon,
I don't think it's the loss to the United States of America. Go America! I think it's probably just a little more. They got to recover.
Dude, MacKinnon looked pissed, and I get it. Like, there's a reason he's not the captain. It all makes sense now. I mean, there's a reason that even when Gabriel Landeskog was out for 477 years, you didn't just give the C to a generational talent, Nathan MacKinnon. MacKinnon looks like he's pissed, and he looks like he probably yelled at someone. He's a very competitive guy, maybe the most competitive, and I ain't complaining about it. But I'm just I thought about that after the game too. Like, what's it going to be like getting everybody back in the same room again after you battle it out? And some of these guys look at it and say these are the most important games. So when you lose, I think even MacKinnon said that. So when you lose this game, how is it? What's the transition like to go back to, in some people's minds, a secondary prize? That's what'll be fun to watch, I guess, and I hope it works out for the best. I actually agree with you. I think it's going to be a weird start, and then they'll be fine. In a week, we're not even going to be talking about the Olympics anymore. So the lights thing has been given the green light at the University of Northern Colorado. Will they be able to raise that money? It's basically the administration said, yes, you can do it. Good luck finding the money. Do you think they can find, what did we say, $1.6 million? Can they find $1.6 million for lights? Because it's on the football program, I believe. And I'll talk to Ed Lamb a little bit more about this on Wednesday. Is it going to be something where they basically, the coaches have to go out and try to fundraise? Who's fundraising for this? I'm very curious because basically it was agreed that they could do it if they get the money.
I think that they should do two different ways. They should, three different ways, go to the alumni. Two, go to corporate sponsors, and three, crowdfund.
Yes, that is how you raise money for colleges, Michael. Thank you.
That's no, I mean, like, actually for, go to one of those.
They literally do that for everything. They crowdfund. They ask people to donate money. They ask for businesses to donate money. I mean, they ask alumni to donate money. The question isn't how they're going to do it. That's going to be the way they do it. Can they do it? Is there enough alumni that will give money to the Bears? Is there enough? I mean, you got Dalton Kinnaird's number still? He's still in a rookie contract, but are there enough people that would throw, you know, you talk about crowdfunding. Are there enough people that care enough about that? Are there enough corporate people that care? That's the question, Mike. So you're not buying it.
I hate to say no.
You're selling it.
But I'm hope.
Well, I guess they can get.
I'm on the fence, but I'm feeling pessimistic. Maybe you guys are right.
Oh yeah, you're a negative Nancy today.
Maybe I am.
100% a negative. Although I don't know. I'm going to sell it right now. I don't think they're going to come up with $1.6 million by next fall. I will probably change that tune Wednesday after talking to Ed Lamb, unless he doesn't believe they can. So we'll see what he has to say. Buy or sell, the lights will actually be something that helps the UNC football program.
Should they get it? Yes, I believe that helps.
I think people want to, you know, Brock even told us. He's like, there's something, Brock Wisney was on earlier. There's something about, yeah, during the early portion of football season, going out and sweating on a Saturday, it's so much more fun to say, man, we're going to go out later tonight for whatever, 7 o'clock game or whatever. And most of all that game, some of that game's going to be under the lights. It's going to be a little bit cooler. There's something about it, man. So I do think it'll help. The prestige thing, the fact that they're also the fact that they're the only team in the Big Sky Conference without lights is an embarrassment. It is. It's just an embarrassment.
Yeah, and that was brought up last year, early in the season, when they had that big lightning delay. And it was one of those,
they gotta get the game done.
Are we gonna run into the dark?
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point. If you get the game delayed for any reason, you better hope you can get started before it would end by the time dark hits or when you would need lights.
Yeah,
that was embarrassing to say that.
No contest.
Yeah, and that's embarrassing to say that. Like, well, we couldn't actually take a 2-hour delay and then, you know, just schedule it for when the lightning's fully clear because we had to beat sunset because we don't have lights. He said, Chris says, wow, that's a lot of car washes and bake sales. Yeah, I would imagine it's on the football program to raise the money, right? Directly on the football program to raise the money? Or because it's the football field. Do they play soccer? They have a soccer pitch, different field, right? They don't play on the, yeah, I'm stupid. The only thing they do at that football field is play Big Sky football there, right? They don't do anything else.
Yeah, normally they don't bring teams in.
Do you think they could host high school games there?
They might be able to, but normally they go to D6. I mean, I assume maybe Greeley West wants to play at home and Greeley Central also wants to play at home. They could do that.
But District 6 is...
tiny.
Yeah, but...
I've been to a Greeley Central
but don't
game.
They have their own locker room? Like, would you rather play at UNC or play at District 6?
I've seen District 6. The students walk right out of the locker room. The locker room's pretty close.
It's in the facility?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we're not walking across the parking lot.
Right. And how does their stadium compare to UNC Stadium?
I have not been to UNC Stadium.
Oh, you haven't?
I have not, no. Normally, when we were carrying the games, I was sitting in this room, or the downtown version of this room.
Faith says state games could be held there, but aren't the playoffs like the championship? Because the playoffs are at home, like hosted, right? And then the championship games are like this year. We saw three classifications at Canvas, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the playoff games your home field advantage. You get your home field advantage. You're not going to play at a neutral site.
Yeah, and a lot of people go to those games.
So
UNC doesn't have enough stands.
Faith says track does use it. Would they potentially have track meets at night under the lights? I have no idea.
I've never seen a track meet at night.
I don't know. If track is involved and they're going to potentially have night track meets, which, again, that could be a stupid thing, but if you have the lights, you could do it. Wouldn't track need to be involved in helping raise some of the funds? Could you raise some of the funds from potential high schools if they ever did want to play there? Oh, they just use it for practice. Just around the track is around the field.
Yeah, the track doesn't raise a lot of money. It's going to be on the football team.
It's on the football program. How do you raise the money for lights? How do you do it? John says, I think lights are doable. If you get State Farm and the Stampede involved, I think it could get done. John, well, it depends. Are we talking local State Farm? Are we talking corporate and the Stampede?
Does the field have a name?
The stadium?
Yeah, does the stadium have a name?
It's Nottingham Field. Oh, yeah, Nottingham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to have to rename that to
Nottingham Field at
State Farm Stands.
State Farm Stands. They call it Sonny Lubick Field at Canvas Stadium, but nobody calls it that. It's just Canvas Stadium.
Yeah, kind of like no one calls it Empower Field. We all call it Mile High. The only people who call it that are the broadcasters.
I call it Invesco Field.
I called it Broncos Field at Mile High.
It's not Mile High. They tore Mile High down, Mike. I don't know if you're aware of this. Mile High was torn down.
It will always be Mile High.
It's not. It's a literally different stadium.
It will always be Mile High, no matter what.
Mile High the only thing that people have left of Mile High is in your house. You have two seats from it.
Proof. From Section 515.
That's Mile High. That's your Mile High now. This is not Mile High. Mile High was torn down. It can't be two things. When one was torn down.
Mile High.
Well, it's torn down. It's not there. Faith says, I think they'll get funding. I don't think they would have brought this to the table if they didn't think they could get the money. Yeah, but maybe not as soon as next fall. Maybe it's going to take them a year and a half or so.
Yeah, I think next fall is ambitious.
That's pretty ambitious to try to get that done. So I don't know. Maybe. Hey, maybe they've got a couple of millionaires that we don't know about and that could each split this thing up. You get two millionaires, throw a few hundred thousand dollars at it. Maybe.
I'd say get the city of Greeley to donate, but they're donating something else.
Yeah. They're a little busy right now.
Yeah, they're this Cascadia Catalyst project.
The vote
they're working on.
Votes for this, by the way, Greeley voters, special election happening this February. This was mailed out February 3rd. Vote by mail or drop off at one of four secure locations. Election day is the 24th. That is tomorrow. And must be received by 7 p.m. for a ballot to be valid. Visit greeleyco.gov for more details. A yes vote is removing zoning ordinance 30 of Catalyst. A no vote means to keep existing. A no vote means they will keep working on the project to ultimately bring the Colorado Eagles to Greeley and a water park. A yes means they would remove the zone ordinance, and it doesn't necessarily kill the project, but from our conversations with Martin Lend, it maybe does. If a yes vote passes to remove zoning, they're not going to wait around and fight that battle anymore. The owner of the Eagles has said on these airwaves that he would look elsewhere. Which
I think I know which one Johnstown's rooting for.
Johnstown would be the place. So Greeley could lose that battle to Johnstown. I don't want to lose that battle to Johnstown. Travis, the new guy. The Walmart family now owns the Broncos. They generated $55 million a day in profit. I bet they can help with the lighting. They're not involved with the Walmarts, though. They're involved with Dick Monfort. Can Dick Monfort throw a couple bones out there?
That would be cool.
I mean, he's on their board and stuff. Eastside Chris, State Farm Field. Bring in Jake and Patrick. It's going to have to be like what they did with the arena, Bank of Colorado Arena. That used to be Butler Hancock, right?
And then they changed it to Bank of Colorado. And they had everything sponsored. Like, they get everything sponsored. That's what you have to do is with the and you might get some anonymous donors, though, that don't want any kind of anything. They just want to give you the money because they believe in Ed Lamb. They believe in the program. They went to UNC or whatever. But they're going to have to figure out sponsorship items to add on to the already existing sponsorship items.
Also, they would get a tax break. Yeah. It's a nonprofit.
That's true. Lighting. Can you get the lighting sponsored? Maybe one of the lights is like a bat signal. And it has the business on it. So every once in a while, they just flash it across the field. And it's like, State Farm.
Well, you'd have to get permission from DC, who owns the rights to Batman.
It wouldn't be Batman.
The next couple of decades
like
until Batman
the bat
goes
signal.
Into the public
oh
domain.
My gosh, you are the worst person. 21 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. It's The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. This is The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310. KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
Now you're talking. Oklahoma says Big City Roadhouse light post at Nottingham Field. Light post. How many light posts? Maybe 6 to 8 businesses could each sponsor one. Yeah, but you couldn't really see it because the lights would be too blinding. You'd look over at the... I don't know. Maybe not. But how about Big City Roadhouse? We're going to be out there on March 19th for our first of two watch parties. For March Madness, March 19th. Yeah, we're going to kick it off out there. We're going to be out there. It's going to be me, Brygare, that's what I call him now, Tanner Schwint Show. Dude down the hall is probably going to be there. Dancing with Himself will probably join us. Bruce, don't call me that. He's going to be there as well. Maybe even Michael, if we could scoot him on down there. But we got to get an attitude adjustment. There will definitely have to be an attitude adjustment before we get down there, Mike. Big City Roadhouse, man. They're going to have great deals. And just by walking in, you're going to be entered to win a free 55-inch smart TV. So, hooligans, you text the show, you call the show, you want to be a part of the show, come be a part of the watch party with us at Big City Roadhouse. John says, on a serious note, serious? How serious? I think we're talking about eventually building a new stadium with more seating and therefore more profit potentials. Now, Ed is, I like Ed. He's a dreamer. He's got this thing kind of headed in the right direction. That's pretty bold. To build a new stadium?
Off campus.
Why?
Do you have room? You have room for a... You either build it off campus or you eminent domain some houses.
I don't know. Because where would you play? How long does it take to put up a stadium nowadays, Michael? I mean, this one would not be like a, you know, state-of-the-art, top-tier college football or NFL type of stadium, but how long does it take to put a stadium up?
It would be a stadium with some stands and a brick wall.
And a locker room?
It wouldn't be a big build.
I don't know if they're if that's a realistic thing. I haven't heard anything about that. I've always heard about the lights.
but I haven't really heard a serious conversation about. Maybe. I could be wrong.
What kind of lights? Are they building the lights that blink that everybody has nowadays?
Like in certain moments? Like, not all game, surely.
Yeah, but, okay. I know, but like, you know, when you score a touchdown, they're like, we're going to celebrate with our lights.
I don't know. If you're going to go for lights, you might as well go for some great ones. But I'm guessing they're going to go bare minimum.
There you go.
I'm just trying to do something to cheer you up.
I'm proud of you, Brady.
Well, I'm trying to do something to cheer you up. See? Faith even says, if my buddy Michael is there, may have to take that time off and go hang out. Well, maybe somebody could get Michael to smile. Because it has not worked here. The Bears can play in Chicago, since the Chicago Bears will be in Hammond, Indiana, LOL. Yeah, a little bit too expensive of a trip there, I would imagine.
If the Chicago Bears move to Indiana, that's going to be one of the worst things in sports history.
Or would we get over it?
I wouldn't get over it.
Well, yeah, but you're a different weirdo.
I would not get over it on behalf of,
you got over
of all
the
Bears fans.
Did you get over the Rams?
I didn't like the fact that the Rams moved, but like there's a difference between the Rams.
Did you get over the Raiders?
And the Bears.
Because I just put your stupid little "I love the Broncos and no one else." Ha ha ha. The Raiders are also a storied franchise. They are also a longtime franchise.
They are, but the Bears are a much longer franchise. We're talking about, if I can do my math correctly, 39 years older.
39 years older than the Raiders?
Yeah. Raiders, 1960. The Bears, 1921. Second longest running franchise in the NFL.
Okay. But the Raiders aren't that far away from one of the kind of the old school legendary football brands.
They are legendary, and I didn't like them moving.
But you got over it, didn't you?
They first moved in 1983, so I was two.
They moved a lot. They weren't they Oakland, Los Angeles, Oakland, then Las Vegas.
If you think about it, the Broncos are the only team in the AFC West that has not moved.
That's true.
The Chargers have moved twice. The Chiefs have moved once.
Yeah. And now we have the Raiders in Vegas, and I don't know, man. Faith says, don't get me riled up on that. Texter says, the Bears move is never going to happen. That's just a play for the city of Chicago to make a better land offer to the team. We'll see.
That's what I'm leaning towards.
I don't think it's going to happen, but it could happen. Stranger things have happened. But I do think, not now, Bears fans might not get over it. Like, Faith might not get over it. But I do think that we would it'd be tough. Like, the Las Vegas Raiders, it's still weird, but, I mean, Las Vegas needed a team, I think. So, I don't know. It would be odd, though. You're right. Chicago Bears. I mean, there's just certain things that just sound really bad when you take the Chicago out of the Bears. That would be a strange day. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. How about the Colorado State Rams, Michael? Now, they beat San Diego State over the weekend. That's one of the top-tier teams in the Mountain West Conference. And then I said on Friday, if the Rams can beat San Diego State, then maybe they are. Maybe they are all the way back. To be fair, okay, so the Aztecs lost to Grand Canyon and now CSU. Before that, they were on a three-game winning streak against Wyoming, Air Force, and Nevada. This Mountain West is just wide open, and CSU just proved that it belongs in the wide openness of this conference. Are they going to go on a run like they did last year and win the final? How many did they win? Because right now, I think they're 5 in a row.
But when they listen with Nick Clifford, they went on a nutty run down the stretch. I mean, they won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7 in a row, and then they won the Mountain West tournament. That was crazy. And Nick Clifford was just special throughout that process. They beat Memphis in the first round of March Madness. It was a special year. Can they do that again? I said no earlier. I said hell no. I said they don't have a Nick Clifford on this team. And a lot of people said the guy that would be closest to being able to do some of those things would be a Kerry Booth. We just haven't seen it. Kerry Booth had 22 points, I believe a career high for him, a monster jam, like nasty poster jam, and then Jace Butler had a career high, 25. That might have been a Kerry Booth season high, if I'm not mistaken. What's changed? They still turned it over a hell of a lot, but they were 13 of 31 from the three-point line. And they they were close. They had 33 rebounds. San Diego State had 35. So something's clicking, and I am shocked. I was resigning to the fact that this was just going to be kind of a learning type year for the Rams, and you know, just get 1 year under your belt. But now with just a few games to go, Ali Farouk Manesh is eyeing 20 wins. He could still get to 20 wins in his first year, and that would be pretty impressive. They have 4 games to go, and they're at 17. They play Fresno State tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. They should win that game. Now, they lost to Fresno State earlier in the season, and that's when I think that was when it hit my brain of this is not a good team. Then they lost to Boise State. It was close. They smoked Air Force. They lost to Utah State. Pretty close game, though. Then they got smoked by San Diego State. Then they lost to Wyoming. After the loss to Wyoming, I thought, this is not a good basketball team. Since then, they've won 5 in a row. And the last 2 have been against upper and middle of the road Mountain West teams. UNLV on the road. Tough to do. And then San Diego State, 83-74. So something's happening with this Rams team. And are we really about to make this incredible run again? I don't think so, but I had Ali on, was it Thursday or Friday? And he just told me, he's like, stop predicting either way with us. Because I think when I call them to win, they lose. And when I don't really call them to lose, they win. So I just kind of leave it alone and then just watch the game. But I can't do that, Michael. I have to inject myself somehow into the game, and I will be doing that. They could run the rest of the table as far as the regular season goes. They could beat Fresno State tomorrow night. They could beat San Jose State, who's really bad. New Mexico's right at the top. I think they're second in the conference. And then you have Boise State to finish up, and Boise's had a weird year too. Certainly not the year they expected. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Before we break, I want to tell you about Lemons Heating and Cooling. Heating, air conditioning, duct cleaning, they'll take care of you. They got free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. I know the weather's going to be absolutely beautiful here. I don't think we're out of the woods yet. I think we're still going to have some tough days. We're going to have some crazy snow days, maybe not ridiculously cold, but the spring is approaching, and that has you thinking, all right, want to make sure when the time calls for it, we've got our AC units ready to go. Maybe they were running on fumes at the end of last summer. Talk to our friends over at Lemons Heating and Cooling before any kind of a new season transitions at 970-567-0798 or visit them online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. 39 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
All right, rumors are swirling that the Broncos, before they will make an offer to J.K. Dobbins, trying to bring him back, they will be pursuing one of the big-name running backs that we've talked about on this show, whether it's Kenneth Walker or Breece Hall or Travis Etienne Jr. And Benjamin Albright, who's been on this show quite a bit throughout the course of the season, host of Broncos Country Tonight, believes it's going to be Travis Etienne Jr. That's who the Broncos would target first. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you couldn't also go and get J.K. Dobbins, but would they? Because, I mean, the question is, are you ready to put R.J. Harvey as a third-string guy? Are you willing to say that? Because then that's another year of him he takes a step back, even though he produced for you with touchdowns last year, but he still wasn't like a consistently good running back. But he still put up touchdowns. Are you willing to say that draft pick was kind of more or less a throwaway? Because if you take his second year and you put him behind those two guys, who knows where he's going to be at physically, mentally at that point. And then that would be two running backs. They were kind of somewhat, I get that two different, who was the guy they drafted in the late round last year, Michael? Didn't they get a Utah guy? Oh, why am I blanking out on him? It was 2 years ago. Oh, boy. Oh, come on.
You're talking about the Notre Dame guy that fumbled all the time?
Was it Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Why did I think it was Utah? Did they ever have a running back from Utah?
I think it was Notre Dame.
I think you're right. Yeah, it was Estime. Where did I get Utah from? Did they ever have a running back from Utah? Or is that just something that I created in my mind? Probably.
They have wide receivers from Utah.
They drafted Audric Estime with the 5th-round pick. It was their 2nd 5th-round pick in 2024. And it's not that it was a low pick, so it was like, okay, whatever. But they were high on him. And then that went away. And then, of course, R.J. Harvey was taking a 2nd-round pick. If you sign Travis Etienne Jr. and then you do also go after J.K. Dobbins to bring him back, does that mean the end for Harvey, who I think touchdown-wise had a really good year? He had seven rushing touchdowns and 5 receiving touchdowns. That's pretty good for a rookie, man.
It's pretty good, but his problem was he couldn't get out of the backfield. I think he just needs to work on his patience and his vision. That's easier said than done, but just work on that. You look at the...
Well, he ain't going to work on it much when he has 2 running backs ahead of him, though.
Yeah. You're just going to have to look at more film and look at what the guys ahead of you are doing.
I just think that having him take a backseat and then another backseat, it's going to be really tough. And now, again, odds are J.K. Dobbins gets hurt again, knocking on wood. So he'd have his call-up opportunity. But, well, we'll see. I know they were high on him. I know Sean wants him to be the Joker-y kind of guy. So
we've got like 3 of those guys that could be the
Marvin Mims,
type of guy.
R.J. Harvey, and Evan Engram.
Yeah.
And nobody really lived up to that, whether it was because Sean just didn't utilize them that way or they didn't step up. Evan Engram.
Maybe we'll have a new play caller.
Yeah, sounds like it. Sounds like it. All right, 48 minutes after the hour. Michael, what did we learn on this Monday? We'll get to that one coming up next.
Year. You heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey,
right, Michael, what did we learn on this Monday, February 23rd? We love that Team Canada and their fans like to bitch about 3-on-3, yet you couldn't beat Team USA when you had 5-on-3. So you had 5. You had 2 more than them, and you couldn't do it, couldn't score. And it was exciting. 3-on-3 hockey's fun. I think it's awesome. I don't know where I am at, like, making that a regular thing. I don't know. It was fun. I like that a lot. Michael, what'd you learn?
I learned that Team Canada also agrees with me on the 3-on-3. However,
you're basically Canadian.
Maybe they don't agree with me. Maybe it's just sour grapes. And we'll find out in 4 years whether they're just saying that because they're mad or who knows.
You and Team Canada and the rest of the Canadians all agree. Congratulations to you. We also learned that it might be panic button time for the Nuggets. And it might be the opposite of panic button time for the UNC Bears and the CSU Rams. They're both red hot right now. That Hansel's so hot right now. And so are the Rams. And so are the Bears. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.